and stop talking because you don't want your voice out there because you, I think you owe child support somewhere.
Wow. Wow. Just never know. Never know what's going on.
So keep your voice to yourself.
You don't know what people are doing behind the scenes, right? Imagine if Simon had like 7 children out of wedlock.
The man was, who knows what he was doing in Italy back in the day.
Yeah. Italy. I've been watching this show.
Tell me.
It's called Gomorrah.
Okay, I've heard about it. I've heard about it.
Best show I think I've watched.
Stop it.
Chris, Gomorrah. Do you watch Gomorrah? You don't watch Gomorrah. You've never watched it.
Is it about the drugs?
It's on the channel that I don't speak about.
Yeah.
But it's also on, what else is it on? It's on HBO Max. It's everywhere.
Is this
but
based in Naples?
UK,
the
it's
one
based,
that's in,
it's based in Naples.
Okay, yeah. I've watched one thing of it and I was like, I can't watch anymore.
Oh, you have to watch it, man.
It's grimy, right?
It's ridiculous.
It's rough out there too.
Very rough. It's talking about like the Italian mob, uh-huh. Italian mafia, mm-hmm. and it's such a good show, man.
How many years is it?
It's four seasons now. But let me tell you how good this show is,
okay.
And let me tell you why it's also very good to be forgetful. Like my wife accuses me of being forgetful, right? Mm-hmm. It's like there are a lot of things that I always remember, and mm-hmm. there's a lot of things that I always forget.
You just
right?
are like, I'm done with this thought,
right? Mm-hmm. So when you're forgetful. Mm-hmm. You can actually go back mm-hmm. and watch classic shows like you're watching it for the first time.
Oh, that's like a gift, huh?
It's incredible. It's incredible. I've already watched the series. And I went back to the first one, and I'm watching it again. I'm like, oh, my God, because I don't remember anything
right.
that happened.
Wait, you don't, when you watch it, though, are you like, oh, yeah, now I remember.
No.
But how do you have a memory
yes.
like you have on other things, but yet on this,
let me
you
tell
don't.
You what I have.
Okay.
I have extreme short-term memory.
Okay.
Extreme. Like, I can recollect things that I've seen within, like, the past 2-3 days.
Locked in.
Like I'm reading from a... like oh, I'm reading
like
from...
photographic.
Yeah. But anything that goes far back, like a year, 2 years, it's like, what are you talking about?
Wow.
Did that happen? I don't remember.
So no. You're a good test taker.
I could cram. Oh, I was good at that. I was good at cramming.
You're like, I can get this. I'll remember this.
You know what? Actually, now that I think about it, that's probably a skill picked up from Nigeria.
Okay.
That's probably a skill picked up from Nigeria, now that I think about it. Because our tests, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. We didn't have textbooks.
Okay.
Right? So the teacher would come to the front of the class, mm-hmm. she would give the lesson, mm-hmm. and we had to write everything, every single thing that she said down, right?
Whoa.
Yeah. So we would write it all down. So when it came down to tests, everything was based upon—
Your note-taking.
Note-taking. And so you had to cram, it was called cramming. We had to sit there, we had to cram like notebooks full of information. And so we would do that maybe like 2 days before. We would just sit there. We would just line for line, cramming. And then when it's time to take the test, everything just came out of you. So now that you mention it, that's probably why my short-term memory is like that, just from years of being in school, practicing, cramming stuff. Because you always say that. You're like, how do you remember?
Yeah, you remember.
I just, boom. Like, if it's within the last 3 days, forget it.
That is shocking.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you... But when you were playing,
yeah,
how did you prepare then? Okay, were you a note taker?
No, never took notes.
So watch the film, watch the tape.
Watch the tape.
I know I'm not going to tell your secrets, but you'd watch the video copy
for
things.
Well, we'd have the game plan. And then the game plan the night before, uh-huh. Saturday, uh-huh. you have all the plays.
Yep.
You go through all the plays.
Yep.
Locked in. I never made Emmys. Like mental errors?
Yeah.
Never. I was not an Emmy guy.
How did you study for your opponent, though?
What do you
your
mean?
Opponent. That's all film.
The guy set. Who I'm going to get.
Yeah.
See, I was a defensive end.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
So I was studying the offensive tackle.
Yeah. Period. You're
period.
Watching the
that's
guy.
That's what I'm watching. And
yeah,
so
yeah, yeah. Makes
is
sense.
He a jump setter? Is he a outside hand guy, inside hand guy, two hand puncher? Is he a rapper?
Yeah.
Is he set deep?
Yeah.
As soon as I figure that out, see, he can forget it. he's gonna have a long day, buddy.
Your face
long
right there
long
says
day.
It all.
Long
you
day,
can Jay, forget
babe.
It.
Forget it. He's in trouble.
So you have two skills then.
Mm.
You have Wow, that's interesting. You have the ability to study people. I always say playing corner,
yeah,
having to study a receiver. I can look at people and how they move, and I'm always picking up stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I study body movement.
Mm-hmm.
To this day, yeah. I can watch a room and I'm just, it's like I feel it differently because mm-hmm. I'm looking at individual movements. But I still had to schematically understand how it all fit and everything like that.
Yeah.
But you can just photographically like lock it in for that week of the game.
Period.
Go to work.
Yeah.
I've played with guys like you and I hate you.
Yeah.
I hate all of you.
There's nothing wrong with that. Hatred is a big part of life.
Because you're the kind of guy, just like Antonio Pierce, just in the room like this,
yeah,
with your arms crossed, and don't miss nothing.
Nah, see it all.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Well, welcome to the Jason and OC podcast.
Yeah.
That's how we start talking about OC's memory.
Mm.
You know what? You can listen, obviously,
yeah,
OC, like people do. But yeah, we have been warned.
Okay.
We have been advised.
Mm-hmm.
We have been told by those who care. Those who care.
Is it the people who are cutting the check?
Cut check people.
Well, do what they say.
Do what they say?
Do exactly what they say.
That we're on YouTube.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Exactly what they say, you do it. If they're not cutting the checks, don't pay them no mind. Because those are the ones who talk the loudest. The ones who aren't cutting the checks.
No.
But the ones who cut the checks, if they say that.
Check cutters.
Oh, yeah.
Check cutters.
Do exactly what they
and
say.
And they're actually promoting what we're dishing out.
Yeah, but the thing is, those ones, the check cutters, they don't talk, right?
No, they don't talk.
They'll just say, hey.
They send messages.
Do this.
Yeah.
They won't say nothing else.
Check
don't cutters. Do it if you don't. Don't do it if you don't want. See what happens.
They don't raise their voice.
No, they don't talk. They don't talk,
they
bro.
Don't.
No.
They don't.
Mm-mm.
They do this.
Do that. Do that. Make the mistake and don't do what they ask you to do.
Yeah, you make
that
the mistake and don't mention that you're on YouTube if you want to.
See what happens then.
You're so right. They don't talk.
They don't say nothing, Jason.
Is that why the owner comes in and all they do is they just, hey.
They don't say nothing. You good don't hear their voice.
Nah, good game. It's all nice.
Mm-mm.
Hey, good game.
Mm-mm. You don't hear their voice.
Good game.
No,
great game.
No.
I have, it's Thanksgiving,
okay,
OC,
yeah,
this weekend. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Mm-hmm.
But we have something to show you.
Okay.
Something that might interest you.
Mm-hmm.
It happened on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to say when because I just don't know when.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But there's somebody involved. And I want you to take a look
at Terrell Thomas. That's T2.
That's T2, a baller. Now, this might be familiar to you. A game against the Denver Broncos in OC. OC.
Wow.
Yeah. OC, right there.
I'm about it. Yeah.
OC walks up to Kyle Orton, the quarterback of the Denver Broncos, and he's face-to-face.
Face-to-face.
He is nose-to-nose, and he's saying things that he would never repeat out loud ever because those that are paying are listening.
Yeah, where'd y'all get this footage from? I'm so confused.
He is highly upset.
Mm.
Let's see. He's made it back to the sideline because they're kicking a field goal right now. Mm-hmm. We really don't care about this part because I just want to get back to my guy.
Yeah.
So the field goal, they made it. Denver made it.
Mm-hmm.
But what's happening? Let's get back on this sideline. We've seen a little people congratulating the kicker. We don't care. Kyle Orton is moving around. You are, oh my gosh. The face OC has on the sideline.
Yeah.
What's happening here, OC? Tight end.
That's Daniel Graham.
Daniel Graham. You're in his face,
Telling
too. You letting him know.
Ooh.
Oh, OC. They're breaking you up. Oh, OC's going in for contact.
Sheesh.
Oh, they have to hold you back.
Look at Kyle. He's smiling. He's like, he's mad.
Yeah.
He's mad.
He said he's mad. Oh my. OC is yelling at the sideline very loud. People are not confronting OC at all because they don't want no parts of that. He is pacing back and forth on the sideline.
Wow.
Let me tell y'all, because you can't see this, OC's arms are ginormous.
Man.
His arms are huge, and he has these wristbands on, and he is completely stretching them out because his arms are too big. A teammate of ours, who is a coach now for the Carolina Panthers, I will not mention his name, is trying to calm OC down. OC wants none of it. He wants none of it. What is this all about, OC?
Yeah, that's interesting. Now, I will say this. It was a couple of years ago, and as we mentioned before, I can't remember. So, this would have happened a couple of days ago. I could tell you precisely what happened, but...
That was... One of the angriest moments I've ever seen you.
Yeah, I will say this. That was 2009, right? Had to have been 2009.
Mm-hmm.
I missed all 2008 with an injury.
Knee injury.
2009, we weren't playing our best football. Mm-hmm. We weren't playing our best football at all. And I remember that game specifically. I don't think we played very well. Mm-hmm. I think we probably lost that game, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. And we were very just lackadaisical. And mm-hmm. so I was trying to fire myself up, mm-hmm. fire the team up, fire everybody yeah. up. And my emotions got the best of me, man. It happens. Very rarely, but I don't know. I wish I could remember precisely what happened that led up to that.
Oh, you were hot. You were ready. You were about that action on that.
Yeah, I was.
Did you ever feel like you had to? Did when you had to fire the team up? Because that wasn't your role.
That was my role. No.
Yeah.
I wasn't that kind of guy. No. No.
So when you felt like you had to, you knew something was lacking.
Not only that, it's just we weren't really the. I mean, Strahan did that,
yeah.
But outside of Strahan, nobody really was a fire-the-team-up kind of guy. Like, yeah. We had the coach who did that, right?
Yeah, it's true.
And then outside of that, there was nobody who we didn't really need firing up. Like, we weren't – yeah. Oh, yeah, they beat us pretty bad. 26-6. Wow.
Oh, you knew it was something. You called it.
Yeah, they beat us pretty bad. Yeah, I knew it. I was up in Denver. Yeah, terrible situation. 2009, missed the playoffs. Ugh.
Things bounced back a couple years later.
Yeah, 2 years later.
It's back.
We're in the big one.
Back on it.
In the big one.
When everybody's job was on the line.
Yeah, in the big one. In the big one.
That's interesting, man. You say that about firing up teams and stuff like that
mm-hmm.
and being that person. And when you do depend on that person who does that for you, everybody kind of locks onto them. That's mm-hmm. their role. You're mm-hmm. right. When I got to New York, it was Strahan. He came in. He did his thing. We mm-hmm. felt it. I wonder if we're seeing that happen now in the NFL.
In terms of?
A lot of teams, right? We can't predict what's happening. It's up and down. But if you have that person in your locker room that demands that you step up every week, like you say, it could be the coach. It could be anybody else. I mean,
apparently it's not working.
It
because ain't nobody stepping up.
No,
every
nobody.
Week.
Not every week. You're right. And to be honest, that's what we thought. We talked about the Titans, and we talked about Vrabel and him yeah. and how he does it. But they go out and lose to the Texans.
Yeah,
man. What's your? I mean, I'm just confused. What's your? I just want to know, man, because you usually come with some kind of wisdom. What is your thoughts overall with that?
My thoughts overall on the NFL this year.
Yep.
Is I think that what we are witnessing
mm-hmm.
is peak NFL.
Ooh.
We're witnessing the NFL
Ooh.
At its very peak. We're witnessing the NFL
mm-hmm.
the way I believe the world should work.
Okay. Tell me.
Imagine this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine this. You see how the NFL operates,
mm-hmm.
right? 32 owners, mm-hmm. right? And they all share everything, okay. right?
Yeah, yeah.
They share
revenue sharing. Except what they get from the stadium.
Fine.
Yeah.
But in general,
TV contract, the big
overall,
stuff.
Sharing everything,
yep.
right? The system with the draft.
Yep.
Everything is set up for there to be complete parity.
Yeah.
In the NFL.
For everybody. They promoting competition.
It's set up for it, mm-hmm. right? There's no... Other than what we have with the Patriots, right? Mm-hmm. There's really no situation where somebody is just dominant for a long stretch of time,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't happen.
It's too hard.
Too hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
And everything is set up for everybody to be able to compete on equal footing, right?
Right, yeah.
Everything's set up like that.
Okay.
And what we're seeing this year is the culmination, the actual results of all that work. When every single week, you don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know what's going to happen.
You just don't.
You don't really know what's going to happen. You think this team is, they're going to go out here, they're going to dominate, they're going to do it. But you forget the guys who they're playing against are literally maybe one or two players away from being just as good as these guys.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
everything is yeah. so, when I watched that Texans versus the Titans game,
yeah.
I said, it didn't strike me that the Titans were a much better team than the Texans, right?
They just turn the ball over.
Yeah, it's just, and the way things are in the NFL, right? Imagine if countries operated like that. I know it's impossible, mm-hmm. right? But imagine if there was a system where everything was set up for all the countries to be equal in some form or fashion.
Wait, all countries or people within the countries?
Countries.
Okay.
Like countries.
Okay.
Say there was a revenue sharing system in the world. Whereas these rich countries,
right,
and somehow, like, in some form or fashion, kind of like, you know, subsidize.
Well, they do with aid.
Well, aid doesn't work, though. Aid has never worked.
I can't argue with that.
Yeah, it has never worked. Not once.
But they try, I'm saying.
I don't even know if they try.
Aid is given.
Yeah, it's given.
But for the reasons it's given?
Yeah, nobody knows.
Different conversation.
I read this book called Dead Aid, and it's about the aid given from the Western to the poor countries.
Yeah.
And categorically, it's a failure.
Yeah.
It actually makes them poorer.
Is that the
It's a problem.
Is that the reason?
That might be the reason. I don't know, but it actually makes them poorer because it makes them dependent on aid.
Right. There's one book you told me to read about how they subsidize some countries in Africa on the seeds they use.
Yeah.
And it literally messes up their harvest.
Yeah.
The way they handle their crops.
It's crazy.
Because they want the company in whatever country they are to be able to sell those seeds or use those seeds in the other country.
Yeah.
I digress, but yeah. So that's to your point.
I'll tell you something else, Jason. I know we're going down another rabbit hole right here,
mm-hmm.
but there's somebody you told me to read, and I started reading him yesterday.
Okay,
Noam Chomsky.
Chomsky, yeah. Noam Chomsky's in the next level, bro.
America operates like that. Like I knew.
Well,
I knew, right? But
a lot of countries operate like that.
Bro.
You know what it is?
No.
A lot of countries do.
No.
But yeah, no, it's different. I like Noam Chomsky. I read a lot of it.
You told me to read his book.
I'm reading him now.
And I literally, as I was reading through, because, you know, when you buy certain books, right?
It's his lectures broken down.
Yeah, that's all it is. Yeah. But when you read certain books, it gives you recommendations for other ones.
Uh-huh.
So I was reading the book on Thomas Sowell that I told you about, and he gave me this recommendation for Noam Chomsky. I was like, Jason talked about that.
Yeah.
Clicked. And then as I was on my way home from work yesterday, I was like, let me listen. I meant to message you. Because as I started listening, because it's like it took me an hour to get back, I was like,
yeah.
Couldn't believe what I was listening to in terms of like.
He doesn't get a lot of interviews, Elsie.
Oh my God. In terms of what happened after like World War II.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway,
I think
what are we talking about? We're talking about football or something.
Yeah,
okay.
But I will say about that's people need to go listen to him. People need to go read him.
I don't know
what he's saying.
I don't know, Jason.
Just it's knowledge. You know, like anything, right? There's always different viewpoints, and I think the way he looks at it is he just goes and he digs through the dirt.
Yeah.
He, you know, a lot of stuff is hidden. Right, fine, right. Stuff's out there.
Yeah, it's.
I mean, a lot of the Pentagon papers
it's open.
Were released,
open for
but
you.
But who's reading it? Who's actually going in there line for line digging it out? He
he said
it out.
He'll do it.
Yeah, you know, there's a reason why he doesn't get a lot of publicity, a lot of interviews, a lot of things he says are controversial. But I read it to try to understand the history of the United States, and it's enlightening. But yeah, it's
I don't think people, you know what, I'm starting to believe that, one, maybe there is something said for people to remain ignorant.
Oh, it's much easier.
Yeah.
It's much more relaxing. It's vacation. It's brain vacation.
It is. Because I'm starting to realize the more I learn.
Oh, don't start with that.
Yeah, no, the right. more I learn, the more I'm like.
I'm hearing you.
I didn't really want to know this, man. I wish I didn't, because it makes you look at things so differently, and it sucks.
Yeah, it does.
The world that you thought you were living in, just does not exist, and it sucks.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Do you think, OC, because I agree with you, it sometimes can be very overwhelming. You look at these things, and you learn these, your perspective changes and it makes you uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But do you think, as a person who has people that are young in their life and you're trying to build their future, don't you think your children and what you're trying to provide for them, does that make you just so focused on trying to make it a better place? Trying to do, because I mean,
shit, I don't want to
because you're worried about you want the world to be good for them,
it's,
right?
It's not only that, Jason. It's I don't want to sound defeatist, but it's almost like the more I read, the more I learn, the more hope I lose.
So I understand what you're saying too, because you understand how difficult it is to change anything.
Oh my God!
But when you do look back at history and you do look at the sacrifice and the time it took for people that have done things that they probably in their lifetime saw no change.
Yeah.
You see improvement on the back of that, but in their lifetime, they didn't see it.
Yeah.
And that is what the farther I dig back and I see the improvement on certain social behaviors, I realize that the people that really fought and struggled and a lot of people who sacrificed everything, that change, what they have done, has allowed change to occur.
Has there really been any improvement, though?
Yeah. You always say there's improvement. You always say that. That's what you always say.
This is why I tell you, like, the more I read and the more I study, the more disappointed I get, because
there's been improvement. In my opinion, there's been a ton of improvement.
This is what I thought, right? But then
Noam Chomsky will say there's been improvement. He always says that.
Yeah, in some form or fashion.
No, he's actually just said that.
Okay, but what I'm trying to tell you is I'm hearing things and I'm reading things that people have been saying for like 50, 60 years.
Yeah.
50, 60 years they've been saying it, right? Mm-hmm. And I thought, I was like, oh, this changed, right? Mm-hmm. And then you look back and you're like, oh, this was the exact same thing that was happening 50, 60 years ago.
Yeah.
So what really?
I think I'm talking centuries. I'm talking hundreds of years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's why I said it's things that people done that they've never.
They never could. Yeah.
I'm completely with you on that. I can't even. There's no rebuttal.
It's crazy.
But I remember my mom saying something about a situation, and it was about what was being taught in schools. And she told me about, I think we've talked about this, how hard they had to fight for that. And I just took it as I didn't know about that battle.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But she made me aware. No.
They've been doing it.
This is because of this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. It's as simple as this. Think about NFL free agency and why people are getting paid the money they're getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
It's because those before us said, nah, and they fought.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all those players back then, what do they always say? We wish and if and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But there would be no NFL free agency. Players would not get what they get paid now if those people didn't do what they did. Now, it's a shorter time frame, so you can see it.
Mm-hmm.
But when I look at how change happens, I'm almost over here trying to talk myself out of thinking because the way you think, because I think the way you think.
Mm.
I'm with you. It's almost crippling.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, oh my gosh, do I go into my little world and just focus on that because I can't do anything else?
Yeah.
But I think about, man, when I leave this earth, it's going to be all about what I did for other people and they're going to think about what I've done for them, right?
Do you live your life that way?
I try to, yeah. Yeah. And I try to tell people that do that kind of stuff to me. I try to tell them why they're alive. How many times do I tell about how you behave in front of you to other people, the positive things, because you really have a lot of negatives. But I celebrate it.
Mm-hmm.
I say it because I need you to understand that's how people are going to talk about you.
Mm-hmm.
When it's all said and done, people are going to talk about what OC did for them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you do a lot for people.
Yeah.
And that's what's important. And most of the time you only hear that when somebody's not around.
Yeah.
Oh man, you wouldn't believe how great they were. You wouldn't. So why don't you celebrate it in the moment?
Yeah.
And I think when it comes to societal issues and change and things we all want for this to be a better planet, even though there's a mountain we will never get up on, we will never see the top of.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to
keep climbing.
Somebody's got to start.
Yeah. I hear you.
You know, it don't make it easy. It don't make it frustrating. And the more, but I think the more you learn, the more you understand how important it is for that knowledge to be out for everyone. Because imagine if everybody would pursue that information to try to promote change. I think the fire would be really lit.
Yeah.
Just don't think people do that, to your other point.
What do you think about this? I saw, well, I'm not going to ask you what you think. I don't want to put it out there on you like that. But I saw Kyle Rittenhouse.
Yeah. The trial just ended.
Yeah. I saw that. You know what's so crazy?
I haven't, you know, yeah, keep going.
You know what's so crazy, Jason? Yes. Is that up until I started to really do, like, dig into it.
Right.
Just listening to, because I've stopped literally over the past, I would say, two, three months.
Okay.
Watching like CNN.
Yeah.
Like I just stopped. I said,
you needed a break?
Can't watch this anymore. Can't watch
you it. You needed
anymore.
A break, huh?
Can't do it anymore. Can't. It's just overwhelming.
Bro, when moms is in town, I'm like, moms, we need a break.
Oh my God.
Moms, we need a break.
Oh, they just beat you over the head with it. Right? So, you know, for a while, I didn't know that he had actually shot three white people.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Yeah.
I didn't know. Okay. Like, I thought it was...
Okay.
From the response.
Right. You thought the protesters, were of color. Or at least somebody was.
So, the cries...
Right.
About racism, I couldn't understand. I was like, what's going on here? Like,
whose cries on racism?
Have you not, like, on
okay, got it. Yeah, the people saying, people, I guess their point was, if he was of another color, then he would have been prosecuted differently, which the data shows that.
If he was of another color, he would have been prosecuted differently for
gun charges, which happens. I mean, I don't know about that exact state, but it happens across America. Yeah, there's less gun people in jail for longer periods of time for less gun charges.
Because the video that I saw them run up on him. I saw him running away. I saw them run up on him. I saw them hit him with a skateboard. I saw him fall. And I saw another guy raise a gun, and then I saw him.
What video did you see?
Yeah, look it up.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is that the one they showed in the trial?
Yeah, the one they showed in the trial.
Okay.
And then he opened fire.
You know, he killed, was it two or three people?
Two or three. Yeah.
Two people. Killed two people with a gun, with an illegal weapon.
Yeah, and so they wanted him to go to jail for that.
I mean, if those were your people, would you want him to go to jail?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of people walking the streets today, black people, who have got off on self-defense for killing people.
That's that.
And a lot of rappers.
Yeah. Precedent is set. So let's see what it does. But yeah, it's I get it, man. I understand why people are upset because you and I both know, but people are treated differently. You know, they are. And most of it comes down to money, which he had a lot behind him.
Who, Rittenhouse?
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people were supporting him.
A lot of people paid for his defense a lot of people paid for his defense, his legal team. So what do we always say?
Yeah.
You better have money.
100%.
If you better have money, right? So, and that's what a lot of people came to his aid with money. So that's what happened.
I wonder why they did that.
A lot of it has to do with
gun right advocacy. Okay. Interesting.
Gun right.
So maybe like the NRA and all those people.
NRA's in a little trouble now, but yeah. Yeah. Because think about it. That whole... When you got states that have literally stand your ground laws.
Yeah.
Right? Florida. Open carry. Texas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the gun rights advocates need the law to basically back up them using
lethal force.
And, you know, you have to, the legal system determines how that's prosecuted, and it's always set by precedent. So in this trial, you have something that if someone else does this, especially in that kind of situation where there's some kind of a riot or whatever, now these people can say, well, he got off here, so that's precedent.
Yeah.
That's the scary thing about it. You know?
I get it, man. I get it. It was just something I didn't understand. I understood the initial, like him being there, first of all, with the AR-15 to me was ridiculous, right? Like,
you know,
he shouldn't, he's 17 years old. He shouldn't have a weapon. He shouldn't be in that situation, right?
A lot of people saying the same thing.
Yeah, I understood that. Mm-hmm. What I didn't understand was the aftermath and the.
The aftermath.
Yeah, like from seeing the video, right? And then seeing them acquit this guy of he's saying he was defending himself.
Mm-hmm.
From what I saw, I have to be honest, it looked like he was defending himself. Now, should he have been in that situation to begin with? Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
But I just didn't see the aftermath as, like, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, and that, I mean, that's a valid point. And I think I'm no lawyer, so I'm just guessing. But I guess if you think of the, you said the key word, if I could prove what you got to prove, that he was there for ill intent. Because just like you said, why was he there? Why was he this? Why was he that? If you could prove that, then you can prove he was there to cause harm.
Yeah.
But can you prove it?
Yeah.
And then I think that's to the point of the first gun charge that was eliminated. That's the big one. I think a lot of people upset at it. I mean, I have friends, bro, like gone away for... The gun wasn't even shot.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, but got a gun.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have it. Not registered. Da da da.
If you're poor, but it's different in different states, right?
It's different. And that's why when you throw all this and you're asking me this, I'm like, listen, I don't know the legal thing in every state, but I'm telling you, people are prosecuted differently by their financial resources. Because for that to get out quick, 17-year-old with an assault rifle, OC.
Yeah. It's different in different states.
Yeah. If you can make sense of that, I can't. I can't make sense of a 17-year-old with an assault rifle going to a riot.
I couldn't make sense of people going into Walmart or going into any store and walking out of there with an assault rifle. I could never understand it. 17, 18, 20, 30, I could never understand how you're able to do that
you
in America.
You said that. It's the gun culture, and I think that's the real fight right here, OC. It's, you know, it becomes like anything, man. It just, it's what we said on the podcast earlier. It's like if you believe you're on one side or the other, all the facts about that circumstance, whatever it is, you just throw them out, bro. Well, I think we're done.
Are we finished?
Yeah.
Do we even talk about football at all?
Oh, see, somebody who probably still has nightmares of you, who hasn't lost three in a row since 2002, made it official by beating our New York Giants. That is Tom Brady. Tom Brady. But he still has issues playing the Giants. He's still always a little nervous, I think.
Yeah, I think apparently he hasn't. You know, he's won 5 games in the regular season against the Giants, but the regular season doesn't really count.
And
you got to win in the big one.
No. It's hard to believe that. And one thing I did want to see in that game, which is that defensive line of the Giants is powerful.
Okay.
And you talk about being soft, and especially this time of year, are you physical? The fact that they held up against them is a good sign on the offensive line for the future of this year.
For the Giants?
Tampa Bay.
For the Tampa Bay.
Yeah, because that defensive line is powerful for the Giants, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, they're a good defensive line, but it's not the test that they're going to see.
You know,
there's going to be some other guys who they're going to go up against. Arizona. Arizona's defensive ends are fire. Bro.
I know, but do you think in the interior are they as physical as the Giants? That's a push you around bunch of dudes.
Yeah.
That's what I was talking about.
Yeah.
Giants, not off the edge.
It's just tough to evaluate the Giants right now, man.
I don't know what's going to happen there.
Tough to evaluate them right now.
I don't know what's going
to
happen.
I like their coach. I really do. Joe Judge. I think he's a fantastic coach. It's tough to evaluate what's going on. Tom Brady, though, 7-3 now? 7-3?
7-3.
They're rolling. Haven't lost three games in a row since 2002.
And man knows how to bounce back.
Yeah, he does.
We going to see, though.
Yeah.
That's it for us. We are out till next week. We are all the way live. Holla at y'all. All the stuff I said at the beginning, YouTube, all them other things. What we always we say with the people that write the checks, tell us to say, OC.
Oh, just do what they say. Just do what they ask you to do. Don't ask them any questions. Just do what they ask.